Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday at Social Cantina by First Horizon Park. It's time now to talk to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the Innsworth football coach, who is on the line with us. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us as usual. I want to start, I want to ask Tim right off the bat, with this Aaron Rodgers saying he's coming back for one more year, but this is it. He's going to retire. He's going to reunite with Mike McCarthy. They're both excited about it and all of that. How much do you think that's going to open up, if at all, you know, Mike and Aaron agreeing, like, hey, maybe we wouldn't, you know, try, you know, this play or whatever, but you know what, we got nothing to lose, let's go for it. Do you think that there's going to be a little bit more of that because Aaron's going to just kind of have that, I'm going out one more time, no matter what happens, this is it?
I think maybe from Aaron's perspective, I don't think that would be the case from Mike's perspective. Mike McCarthy is a Pittsburgh guy. This is his dream job, and it's the start of it. So, you know, I do think, you know, Aaron being like, look, this is it for me. Like, you know, they clearly waited for me, all of that. I do think Aaron, who, you know, it has a history of, hey, this play was called, but I'm just going to do my own thing. You know, he was doing that before it was his last year, so I could see that being a case for him going forward, but I don't believe, you know, that that'd be a posture Mike McCarthy would have.
Realistically, like, I probably put them third in this division. Would you agree with that right now?
I think I have them second.
Really? Okay.
Well, I think Baltimore is the favorite, and who were you putting in front of them? Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, Cincinnati could be good, but, you know, Joe Burrow, you know, I think has been in the league 6 years. He's only started a full season three times.
Right.
So half the time he can't make it through the season. They were terrible on defense last year. Now, there's been a massive overhaul on their defense, so maybe they are good, but it's not like Cincinnati's been – this franchise of stability that you could count on is being good. And so I don't know that I'm comfortable giving them that jump when you think about who Pittsburgh's been.
You mentioned Mike McCarthy and that this is his dream job, and we can sit here and we can talk about his record, you know, with Green Bay and with Dallas and all those things. But the fact of the matter is he is a Super Bowl winning football coach.
Yep.
Not many coaches get a third shot at it, and he has now been the head coach of three of the more historic franchises in the National Football League. So do you feel like that, you know, with all of that said, that the pressure is off of him a little bit? I mean, you mentioned that there won't be complete reckless abandon, but do you think that he kind of goes into this knowing, like, you know what, I'm going to prove that this is why I belong here?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it's reckless. I think that, I think to get hired by those three organizations, there's something about you that's really impressive. And he's a really good football coach, and he knows a lot. And really, when you think about his ending in Dallas, you know, it was a head scratcher. Not that, you know, Brian Schottenheimer's not done a good job. He certainly has, but I can't say that it made a ton of sense to move on from Mike McCarthy when they did. So I think there's just been a lot of football left in him in terms of coaching. And I think that, I don't think he looks at it, or I don't think he's ever looked at it as if he was a guy that, oh, hey, that was it. I'm not going to get another chance to be a head coach or get back into the league. I think that he feels good about his process. I think he feels good about what he knows. I think he feels good about the staffs that he's been able to put together. And I don't think he's going to feel any differently about the opportunities he'll have in Pittsburgh. So he is a very accomplished coach with a very accomplished quarterback, playing in a tough division. But that's why I think I would have them, you know, behind a team like Baltimore, but ahead of a team like Cincinnati.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on what is the most popular show at the Old Hickory Community Center, I'm told, the Chase and Big Joe show. Tim, welcome in. Tim, let me ask you this. Speaking of Joe Burrow, is he getting into that Andrew Luck territory where he's just tired of it, the injuries, the maybe the disappointment and everything else that goes with it? I just, his body language, every time I see him, Tim, I think Andrew Luck, because Andrew Luck abruptly stopped after the 18 season, whatever it was. I just think Burrow looks just frustrated at the injuries and everything else that goes on.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that can be indicator for guys where you can wonder, like, all right, is this guy, is he up for the challenge of, like you said, the injuries, the life you're afforded as a starting quarterback in the NFL. You don't have to be doing it long to make a lot of money and have a lot of really unique, interesting life opportunities. And so, look, when you go back to Andrew Luck, he had all those injuries, but then you also had, you know, a desire and an interest and a kind of a thirst for other things in your life. And so, you know, for Andrew, it was like he traveled to Europe. He was really into, like, Premier League soccer. There were other things. And I think with Joe Burrow, there's been this distraction of whatever, fashion and some of unique experiences.
Right.
Those would be the things that make me wonder, okay, here's a guy that started, you know, again, you know, every game for only half of the 6 years that he's been in the NFL, you know, each season. What is his desire to be in the fight of this? Because it's not easy. It's not. So I just think that those are the things that I don't know. I think that when you make that comparison, I can say, yeah, I mean, there definitely could be some parallels.
Absolutely. I want to get your thoughts, too, about what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed last week, the Teddy Bridgewater Act, letting coaches help players. And look, you're at Innsworth. We know it, great school. You have a lot of resources, right? But you played with guys. I played with guys in high school, Tim, who didn't have a lot. And I remember a high school coach paid an electric bill for a teammate of mine because his lights were getting turned off. The fact this is a problem with people just blows my mind. And look, I get there's a lot of things about recruiting and the guy's got all the money, he can do this or that. But the basic necessities of meals and treatment, and I think signing this act in Florida is one of the best things a politician's ever done, Tim, to help out a way a head coach can help out his players with those certain things that we take for granted every single day.
Yeah, I think it's the spirit of it that is the key, right? I mean,
yes.
This goes back to, like, I had a teammate in college I was roommates with. He had lost both of his parents by the time he was 13 years old. His grandmother used to mail him a $20 bill, like, once a month. Mm. And, you know, so this, and we were selling his jersey in the bookstore, you know, and so, you know, it's kind of why, like, this NIL, you know, culture has changed. It was like, man, college football is making a lot of money off of these kids. You know, surely they should be able to go to a movie and buy a pizza. I think I agree with everything you said about, look, if somebody needs some help, you know, it makes sense that somebody who has the means to help them, if they desire. I think what unfortunately has already kind of happened in Tennessee high school football is, kind of how the college football landscape has changed. You know, there are definitely places where, there's compensation, there's kind of pay for play, there are things going on,
yep.
You know, that are not, you know, the environment that you're referring to. So, I think it all comes down to, you know, adults in the room being the adults in the room and understanding that, helping somebody is one thing, you know, doing something because you're trying to buy, success is another.
Right.
And, I think it comes down to, the adults being adults.
Yeah, and I think Bridgewater had spoken off the record about, I get wind that some of my players, when they go home, have no food, and they need to eat and they deserve to eat. And I just think he's a good man with his heart in the right place to help them out. And the fact that people and the way the rules are written that way just takes away from what we do is for the kids. And, you don't coach for the money. I know you. You coach because you want to mentor young men and you want to win games, right? And that's the same with Teddy Bridgewater, and they do. I just think this is a great thing to do to help the kids. And you said it perfectly. Let the adults be the adults and do the right thing here.
Yeah. Well, like to your point, look, if there's a kid in Teddy Bridgewater's program, at Miami Northwestern that has food insecurity, and Teddy Bridgewater realizes how fortunate he's been in life and he wants to help the kid out, then, I applaud Teddy Bridgewater for having that type of heart. If Teddy Bridgewater was just trying to buy wins by going and trying to, give money to every kid in Miami that he was going to, think help him win football games, that would probably not be, the proper route to take.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, and, of course, head coach at Innsworth as well. We'll have more with him coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on a Tuesday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday at Social Cantina by First Horizon Park, continuing with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, as we talk about the Titans, everyone is going to obviously focus on Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, the offense, all the skill players, Jeffrey Simmons on defense, and rightfully so. But a guy that I actually think has been a positive the last few years, and I was just reading this an article about him, is Peter Skoronski, who they picked up the fifth-year option on. Do you feel like that he has really rounded into form as a premier left guard in the National Football League? And what do you think that looks like as a building block for this Titans offensive line as they try and get something long-term done with him?
I think he's been a very good player, and I think that typically when you have an interior offensive lineman, or really, offensive lineman in general, but definitely interior offensive lineman, and, people aren't constantly talking about him, it generally is a good thing. It means they're doing their job, right? Like they're, to your point, all the skill position players, the, high priced, defensive linemen, those types of guys are the ones that, get a lot of attention. We talk about them all year long, but it is the building blocks of, linemen that, haven't drawn the ire of a fan base or, media coverage for false starts, holding penalties, not being healthy and being able to play in games, just things like that, that typically, shine a light on those guys. Usually when the guy's doing a good job, playing well, he doesn't get a lot of attention. I think that's definitely been the case for Skoronski.
Well, and how impressive have you been, too, that he's done this with, I think, four offensive line coaches, something like that, in his career?
Yeah, and that's not easy. We talk about it for quarterbacks, but it's a thing for linemen as well. And typically it's, because an offensive line coach can kind of get a sense of, what guys do well. They're coaching five, really, nine guys that they're coaching, but playing five. And so leaning into the things that the guys up front do well, when you're constantly changing, that makes it hard.
I love this. This is my chance to talk about John Hanna, one of the greatest guards of all time. Did your father cross paths with him, right, with New England?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, played together, and he lived right down the road from us.
I mean, that's one of the – I tell the time, I always say Alabama offensive linemen aren't very good except for John Hanna, who might be the greatest offensive lineman of all time.
And to our conversation a week ago, definitely wore a face mask that had the middle bar coming down.
Yes, he did. I was going to send you, like, pictures of face masks I had throughout the years, but then I don't want to cross that line with our friendship. You know what I'm saying, Tim?
Well, that and since you already did, I changed my number. Only Chase has my number now.
that works out good. Hey, here's a question we asked last week, and I'm curious to get your thoughts about this. You know, with the Super Bowl coming after the 29 season, in the 29 season, if Robert Saleh is still the head coach, Tim, going into that 29 season, what does that say for the Tennessee Titans as far as making the playoffs, maybe making a Super Bowl, if he's still the head coach then?
I think if he's still the head coach then, it means that Cam Ward turned out to be a great player, and the team is excited about the direction they're heading. You know, what that means for playoff success, you know, it's kind of hard to tell, but I would think that you've won a playoff game between now and then if he's still the head coach during that time. I mean, it's hard to – if you're not winning your division, if you're not winning a playoff game, to think that, you know, in – you know, 2030, at that point of the season when coaching changes have already happened, to think that, you know, you still have a job, like, I don't know. I think you would have to accomplish one of those things to still be a head coach.
No, I totally agree. Absolutely. I think, you know, this is a franchise that's had 7 head coaches in 16 seasons. So now you'll have one who's going into his 4th season, means something positive is happening, and they're not pulling the trigger too quickly on that.
Yeah, I think that has to be the case because you just look at certain teams. I mean, listen, some guys have been one and done. You know, I think most coaches feel like they are, even if they sign a 4-year contract, that they feel like they are on 2-year deals. I want to say Matt Rhule, when he became the head coach at Carolina, and obviously there was new ownership, I think he signed a long deal. Maybe it was 5 years, potentially even longer than that. But look, he's now not there just because there wasn't, you know, enough positive to be excited about. So I think if this regime is still in place in 2030, it means there's been some good success experienced over the next few years.
Well, and you hit on the Cam Ward thing. I mean, if Cam and Saul are still here in 29, that means, I mean, it's going a lot better than things have been in the past. I mean, you just assume – because, and I know things are cyclical, you don't know who's going to be good and bad and all that, but if the quarterback is still here, like you said, and the head coach is still here, to me, Brian Daboll is not part of the equation because he could have a great 26 and be a head coach someplace else. Yeah. But if Daboll's a head coach somewhere and Saul and Cam Ward are still here, then I'm telling you, that it just sounds good. It feels good for this franchise.
I almost hesitated to tie it to Cam's success because I don't know if you've seen it's kind of making the rounds, but Kyle Shanahan is doing an interview, and I think he, you know, was kind of talking about how much he liked his team a few years back and how excited they were about Trey Lance. And then obviously injury to Lance, injury to Jimmy Garoppolo. They were like, oh man, what's going to happen? And next thing you know, they were like, wait a minute, we just found our quarterback. And so, you know, not to say that, you know, there's going to be a Brock Purdy scenario that happens, but like, it is feasible that Saleh's the coach and their success, and it's not directly tied to Cam Ward, but that's obviously a very unlikely scenario. You would think that, you know, their fate, their success, their future with the franchise would be, you know, tied to one another.
So Tim Hasselbeck says Hendon Hooker will take the Titans to the promised land.
Hey, man, here's the thing. It's just like it's definitely more about Saleh than Cam Ward when you think about it, because if Cam is playing well, then Saleh is going to be there. But, like, it is possible because we've seen it, you know, with other guys. But, yeah, the most likely scenario is Cam Ward.
I love it. Also, the other franchise that you played for, which I think is just – they've never done anything well. the Arizona Cardinals. This Jacoby Brissett, why he's not – they are so far apart on all the contracts. They should just call you and like, hey, Tim, can you come play for us for a year? This is nonsense,
man. They shouldn't do that because after one practice, they'd be looking for another quarterback because I want to make it through healthy. Here's the other thing. They feel like the Jets were that one year with Ryan Fitzpatrick, where it was clear to the Jets that Ryan Fitzpatrick was their best option as their starting quarterback. But they didn't want to, outbid themselves for a guy to be their starting quarterback when no one else was trying to make him their starting quarterback. Like, that's the environment for Jacoby Brissett right now. So, you know, you want to do something that's fair to keep a good employee happy, but at the same time, you know, you can't just go pay him, you know, like he's a, you know, a bona fide starter when, look, if he's not a starter for you, like he's actually not going to be a starter for anyone else, so why would you go do that to yourself? It's a really tricky position to be in.
And all the meantime, Gardner Minshew just sitting there smiling, getting his $5 million. Yep. And I'll be here wherever you guys need. I'm here in the background. And it goes to what you told us years ago. Like, if you're going to play quarterback, keep going until all 32 teams tell you no, right? And that's the simple part of this.
Yeah, Matt Kavanaugh told me that. You know, there's another saying, which is, you know, be who you can afford to be. and you know, Aaron Rodgers can be who, you know, he can afford to be. And I think Jacoby Brissett is trying to be who he thinks he can afford to be. And, you know, he might be right, but the team might be right. Because they might say, listen, Gardner Minshew and Carson Beck, like, we're going to be just fine with those guys. Because it's really not all about just this year one, you know, under Mike LaFleur.
Right, you know who loved Jacoby Brissett was Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Loved him. I mean, from beginning to right now, love Jacoby Brissett because he thought he was a pure athlete in that position. So Bill Belichick was his biggest fan.
Yeah, I want to say it was Bill Parcells who kind of helped Brissett get drafted by New England. And look, Brissett played well a year ago. And I think that's kind of the rub that they're in right now is because he's, you know, probably played at a starter level, but, you know, isn't going to get starter money and certainly not going to get the commitment of a long-term starter. You know, you're trying to pay him like a bridge quarterback, but, you know, he's also trying to get what he thinks is fair market value.
I want to go back to something real quick before we let you go. You know, you mentioned the Brock Purdy thing and finding the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times in history have we seen that happen? Tom Brady's a prime example. Mm-hmm. And then you think about, like, in 2001, when Brady takes over, if he's not in Charlie Weiss's offense, if he's in Miami and he's with Chan Gailey, do we have the same conversation? Does he have the same career?
No.
I'm not taking anything away from Brady, but you think, like, you look at Brock Purdy, if he's not with Shanahan, like, it's fascinating to think about how the quarterback and the system have to have the perfect marriage.
Yeah, and the timing. I think Brady would be the first one to admit, like, had he played the year prior, you know, he just wasn't going to be as ready, right? Or if he played on a different team. Like, that was a really good team that was good at running the football, like, defensively and everything. So, you know, would it look the same way if you were in a different environment? I think I've told this story before. My brother, when he got traded from Green Bay to Seattle, was about to get traded to the Miami Dolphins. And then Mike Holmgren kind of swooped in and got him to Seattle. A.J. Feely went from Green Bay to Miami, played for Dave Wannstedt down there. Had my brother gone to that environment in Miami, he probably never takes a team to a Super Bowl. Probably never ends up, you know, having the career that he had. He ended up staying in the same offense, you know, same terminology. And so he just had more time on task. And the transition, I think, just was seamless. So by the time that he got a chance to play, he was more prepared to play well. And he was in an offense that, you know, he had started to develop command over versus, you know, getting thrown into some environment down in Miami where it was going to be tough to have success.
Wow. That would have been Chan Gailey, right, with Dave Wonstadt?
I think it would. Dave Wonstadt, Chan Gailey, I think.
Yeah.
Randy McMichael was the receiver they had there. Chris Chambers was a receiver that they had there. They weren't a real good team. And A.J. Feely, who had been in that same West Coast offense under Andy Reid, goes down there and is in something totally different, and it doesn't work out. So yeah. I think that, that stuff matters a lot. I do think, Brock found himself in a great situation. And then, above that, I think, Brock ended up playing extremely well because he had a lot of football under his belt at the college level.
Tim, appreciate it as always, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Hey, stay dry, fellas. I think it's rained for the last 3 weeks now.
We will. We will. We're looking for the arc, that's for sure. Yeah, thank you, Tim.
Yeah. All right, see you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and also head coach at Innsworth. We'll have more coming next. Chase and Big Joe, 105 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.